Well, hi and welcome everybody. This is Stacey Barr, the Performance Measure Specialist of StaceyBarr.com and creator of Pump and the Performance Measure Blueprint. And welcome to this webcast, which is all about how the Performance Measure Blueprint fixes your KPI process. This webcast is actually a follow-up to my recent and most popular ever webcast, a mind map exercise to trigger KPI engagement. Over 1,300 people joined me live or downloaded the recording to that webcast, which blew me away because it's nearly four times as many as for any other webcast I've done. So clearly, you're looking for practical and easy ways to engage people in performance measurement, and really that's no surprise. Following that webcast, quite a few of you sent in emails asking what happens next, what do you do after you do the mind map exercise, and you've got this group of people who are warmed up and ready to revamp or maybe redesign their approach to measuring performance. You know, how do you leverage their renewed hope and their vigor to make their performance process easier, faster, and more meaningful? Well, you're not going to fix your performance measurement process with the balanced scorecard or by automating your reporting with a sassy, flashy dashboard application. You're not going to fix your performance measurement process by embedding KPIs into everyone's performance agreements. These are certainly tools that can help you improve some of the steps in your performance measurement process, but none of the tools that you're familiar with are going to help you examine the end-to-end detail of your performance measurement process, nor give you the techniques that will fix some of the most common problems that we typically have with measurement. The balanced scorecard is a tool to help you structure your strategy and to get it executed, but it doesn't give you any strong techniques or how to find the most meaningful measures or KPIs for the strategies, particularly those that aren't all that easy to measure or that you don't have a track record in the past of being able to measure. You know, like maybe it's employee engagement for you or customer loyalty. And often, balanced scorecard strategy maps tend to be very action-oriented and not results-oriented, and that can often lead to measures that just measure how much activity you're doing and not measuring the results that you're really trying to achieve. If you invest in a new dashboard application, that's an absolutely fabulous thing to do when you already have the KPIs you need and you just need a way to automate the reporting of them. But dashboard implementations don't help you decide what's meaningful to measure. And they usually focus too much on silly gauges that distort the data. And really focus too much on the flashy features of the dashboard and not really giving you the meaningful presentation of the signals in your KPIs that you need to respond to. And embedding KPIs into people's performance agreements, it usually only fuels the fires of the dysfunctional behaviors you often see because it adds to people's fears and frustrations with measurement. It doesn't alleviate them at all. Mandating performance measurement is not a solution to poor performance measurement. It doesn't help them see the real purpose of KPIs is feedback to increase their power to improve performance. It reinforces that KPIs are going to be used to judge them, and much more often than not, this leads to, well, the problems that you often see, fiddling with the figures and sweeping problems, performance problems under the mat. It's so that they can save face and protect themselves, which is a natural thing to do. So performance actually worsens. We need performance measures to support a culture of performance improvement, not a culture of CYA. And for those of you who don't know what I mean by CYA, it's just a three-letter acronym for cover your ass. you know, a culture of CYA or turf protection and even internal competition. It's not what we want. So to fix your performance measurement process, you've got to treat that process like you would any other business process that you might want to improve. You need to firstly get a rough feel for how that process works now, and flowcharting is a fantastic way to do that. You need to highlight where on your performance measurement process flowchart the problems are happening. And the problems will be relatively unique to your organization, although there are a set of problems that are endemic and very common to most organizations struggling with measurement. Thirdly, you need to decide where you're going to start fixing your process to remove the cause of the problems or the root causes of the performance measurement problems you're having. You need to decide what needs to change about the process to achieve that. Fourthly, creating a measures team is a very powerful thing to do to help you develop your performance measurement improvement project and obviously implement it. And then step five is to execute your performance measurement process improvement project and start producing meaningful performance measures and KPIs. I mean, that's what it's all about. That's what we're really trying to do. Now, the easiest way to improve your performance measurement process is with an approach or a methodology like PUMP and the Performance Measure Blueprint. And that's because techniques like PUMP and the Performance Measure Blueprint were designed exactly to do that, to look at your end-to-end performance measurement process and help you design it or redesign it in a way that makes it work better, that knocks a lot of those common struggles we have with measurement on the head so they're not bugging you anymore. And PUMP and the Performance Measure Blueprint have been around for a very long time and have been revamping people's measurement processes very successfully and very engagingly too for many years. But before we get into the detail of this, I'm going to elaborate on those five steps I mentioned just before and help you analyze your performance measurement process and find out how to improve it. Before we do that, I know that there are quite a few of you who are joining me for the first time, and I'll give you the quick version of who I am and why I'm talking to you about this, just so that you've got a little bit more context. Now, firstly, I am passionate about performance measurement, and I do spend most of my time doing my best to inspire and to inform people like you about how to improve your performance measurement practice and to help you get the KPIs that are going to transform your organization's performance. I do that in a few ways. I write the Measure Up newsletter it's a growing network, continually growing, but at this point I think we've just hit about 11,200 subscribers around the world. And these are people like you. They want to measure what matters. Another thing that I do is to host the Measures and More Mastermind, which is for not for the entire subscriber base. This is more for people who are very actively wanting to improve their measurement practice. The Measures and More Mastermind gives members direct access to the advice and tips of international experts and thought leaders in the performance measurement field. My freelance consulting business, which is how I started out, started back in 1999, and that was when I created PUMP as my method to build or redesign my clients' performance measurement processes. But nowadays, I'm more in a training and coaching role to grow the capability and confidence of fellow performance measurement practitioners to use PUMP. So if you're a strategic planner, if you're a business analyst, a process or quality professional, or a manager or executive even, and you really want to engage people in measuring and managing organizational performance, you're very likely in the right place right now with us here. Most of the people I work with share similar struggles, aligning their measures to strategy, finding meaningful measures, and getting buy-in to measurement. They're probably the three biggest problems. And today's webcast is really going to help you with that, because the way to solve these struggles is simply change your current process for measuring performance. I know it's not that simple, but it's not as difficult as we often think it is. So let's get right into our first step. The first step is getting a rough feel for how your measurement process works right now, and flowcharting is a really great way to do that. Now, I'm going to recommend you use PUMP as the framework or the backbone, if you like, to prompt how you flowchart what you currently do in your performance measurement process. So we'll start with, I'll just go through very quickly what the seven pieces of PUMP are. You may want to jot these down right now so that you can have that in front of you. And we will be going through those seven pieces of the PUMP framework at least twice during this webcast. But if you know them up front, it'll be easier when you hear them the second and the third time. So the seven steps in PUMP, or the seven pieces of PUMP, are: number one, select. I'll explain them in a minute. Just jot them down for now. Number one, select. Number two, collect. Number 3, store. Number 4, analyze. Number 5, present. 6, interpret. And 7, apply. So that's 7 of them. Select, collect, store, analyze, present, interpret, and apply. Now, let's start with select. This is usually at the beginning of your measurement process. It's the first step in a performance measurement process, and it's where you are selecting what you're going to measure. So when you flowchart your as-is performance measurement process, start that flowcharting by asking questions like, I'll give you some prompts here, but ask questions like, when do we choose our performance measures? Do we do it in a brainstorming session, for example, in our planning workshop? When do we do that? Who selects the measures? Who gets involved? Do the executives and managers do it, or does it get delegated to consultants or the planning team? How are measures defined prior to our beginning to implement them? So there's a few different questions there just to prompt how you go about doing that select step in PUMP or in your performance measurement process. The next stage of your measurement process is about collecting the performance data, because once you decide what you're going to measure, that is the next thing to do, is to go and get the data. So some questions to help you think about how you go about doing this stage in the measurement process are these. What triggers a new data collection process for you? When do you know you need to go and collect new data? Who designs the data collection processes in your organization? Are people collecting data manually, or is it automated? How do you decide when to stop collecting data? Now, the third part of your performance measurement process is where data is usually where it's captured or stored. And some questions here to prompt how you go about doing that might be these. Where is performance stored? For example, is it in database systems or is it in spreadsheets? How is data extracted from systems in preparation for analysis and for reporting? And who does this? So you want to think about what's actually happening with where our data is captured and how we get access to it. Now, the fourth stage in the performance measurement process is where you analyze your performance data. In other words, you're taking that raw performance data out of your systems. You're summarizing it, usually using some kind of statistical processes, even as simple as averages or percentages, and turning it into the information or the values of your performance measures. So what kinds of analysis are performed on the performance data that you have to produce your performance measures? Is this analysis automated or is it manual? Who does it? What skills do they have? And what questions drive the analysis? You might even ask the question, well, how frequently do we do it? How often do we do analysis of our data? So they're questions to prompt that analyze stage in your measurement process. The next stage is the presentation of your performance measures, and in PUMP we call that present. How often are performance measures reported, and what kinds of reports are produced? Who produces them? Which parts of the reporting process are automated or standardized? How are the reports structured or designed? Which reports go to which audiences? These are really important questions to get a gauge of how you currently do the present stage in your measurement process, or the actual reporting of performance information. The next is interpret, and this is where people are looking at the performance measures and deciding whether or not they need to respond. So there's a few questions here to prompt you in being able to capture how you currently go about interpreting your performance measures. How are the signals in performance measures highlighted or flagged for people? What are the rules that are used to decide when performance has changed or when it needs attention? What kind of training is provided to analysts and to decision makers on how to interpret measures? Now, the final stage in your performance measurement process is apply, and this is where we use performance measures to drive performance improvement. Where and when are performance measures used in your organization? What role do they take in decision making? How are actions or responses to performance measures decided and executed? And how are strategies and initiatives to improve performance tested? And we have to do that. We need to test our strategies. They're good ideas when we create our business plans, but just because they were good ideas then doesn't necessarily guarantee they're going to work. So measures help us test them. So with those seven pieces of pump, it really guides you. It gives you that backbone that can guide you to flesh out and map or flowchart your as-is performance measurement process. Now, flowcharting is a good way to do this because it's more visual and it also gives you ability to more easily do the next step that we'll come to when you are fixing your performance measurement process, which is to highlight where on your flowchart you're experiencing different types of problems with performance measurement. So it really is a process analysis approach. So flowchart that performance measurement process. That's your first step. And be aware, too, that you may very well have different performance measurement processes in different areas of your organization. For example, you may have a different performance measurement process at the strategic level in your organization. It might be very different. The development of and implementation of performance measures may be done very differently at that strategic level compared to right down in the operational bowels of the organization, where there's a particular team developing their performance measures. They may take a completely different approach. Now, that's not an ideal thing. You really want your foundational performance measurement process to be consistent right throughout your organization and based around proven approaches or proven steps or proven techniques in performance measurement so that you know that everybody's really doing best practice performance measurement, if you like. Now, the next step when you're fixing your performance measurement process is to highlight on your performance measurement process flowchart, the one you've just created, what kinds of problems are happening. Now, if you did the pump mind map activity in that previous webcast I mentioned before, you'll want to use those problems that you identified there and transcribe them onto your flowchart. Now, if you're wondering what I'm talking about with this pump mind map activity, it was a webcast that I've done probably a few weeks prior to this, and it taught you how to diagnose your performance measurement situation right now with the people who are struggling with it and to really get them thinking about measurement differently by thinking about the problems that they're currently facing and how they can get movement away from those problems. Now, if you're interested in listening to that and you haven't yet, then you can register to get the download of the recording of that webcast at stacybarr.com/kpimindmap.html. So that's stacybarr.com/kpimindmap.html, and you'll be able to register there and you'll be sent to a web page immediately where you can download the recording. If you didn't use the pump mind map activity or you're not planning to, you still need to think about where the problems are in your performance measurement process. So go through your as-is performance measurement process step by step and identify the problems that you currently experience at each step. For example, in the select stage of your measurement process where you're choosing what the measures should be, what are some of the problems that you have there? Do you have too many measures, for example? Are you getting measures that don't have very clear alignment to your strategy? Are you finding that important things just aren't being measured at all? Do you have little or no ownership of the measures? What other problems are happening for you at that stage where you are choosing what the measures actually are? The next step next stage in your measurement process is about the collection of performance data. What problems are you experiencing there? Are you finding that the data that's being collected, it has very low quality? Are you finding, and what I mean by that is errors and inaccuracies. Are you finding that you don't have enough of the right kind of data? Or are you finding that the data collection is too time-consuming or too costly? What other problems are you finding that are happening with data collection? Maybe people just don't like it. The next stage in your measurement process is around the storing of performance data, the management of it, where you're going to capture it and get access to it. What are the problems that you have there in the way data is captured or stored in your organisation? Are you having trouble getting access to data quickly and easily? Can you not find the data that you need? Are different database systems being used and you can't get them to connect or talk to each other and therefore can't pull out two sets of data that you need to combine together to create the value for a performance measure? So the next stage in your measurement process is where you're analysing the performance data and turning it into the values of your performance measure or doing some kind of cause analysis. So what problems are you experiencing right now in how performance data is analysed? Are you finding that there just is no cause-effect analysis done? Are you finding that you're not really sure if you're using the right calculation or formulae for your measures? Do you have insufficient skill in the people who are doing the data analysis? Is there a lack of guiding questions to drive the analysis? Is it just very ad hoc? What other problems are you experiencing in that stage where you're analysing performance data to produce the performance measures and supplementary causal information? Now, the next stage in your measurement process is the presentation of your performance measures. And this is reporting, essentially, where your performance reports or dashboards fit in to your measurement process. Do you find that your reporting process is too ad hoc, for example? Is that one of the problems you're facing? Or that it's too time-consuming? Are you finding that reports are too bulky, hard to navigate, disengaging and really uninteresting? Do you find that your dashboards aren't being used because they're just not displaying useful measures? Do your reports fail to give good trend information? What are the problems that you have in the way that measures are reported in your organisation? Now, the next stage of your performance measurement process is the interpretation of your measures, or interpret in the PUMP framework. And let me tell you, there are quite a few problems that happen here, but a lot of people don't realise these problems are happening because it's just so outside of their awareness. Most people have no idea that there are good ways and bad ways to interpret performance measures. Now, some of the problems I see happening a lot at this stage in the measurement process is people reacting to differences between two points of data. How did we go this month compared to last month? Oh, we're worse. We better go find out why. And we send people around chasing the causes of a difference that really isn't a true difference. It's just a random difference. Often this means that there's no skill or very little skill in people's ability to interpret performance information and to interpret trends in particular. Often another problem that happens here is people can't agree on whether performance is acceptable or not, or whether it's changing or not, and that's pretty fundamental. If you're facing that as a problem, it really does need some attention, because it's people are going around in circles and measures are not able to deliver the value they're supposed to deliver. Now, the final stage in your performance measurement process is where you apply your performance measures or use them to drive performance improvement. What are the problems that can happen here? Are you finding that measures aren't being used at all in decision making? Are you finding that targets are just too challenging and people aren't feeling they know how to reach them? Do you have targets at all? Do you lack a clear link between measures and strategy execution, or are measures just not being used or referred to test which strategies are working and which strategies aren't working? Or are you experiencing other problems at that tail end of the measurement process where we're using measures to improve performance? Now, when you do this, when you start jotting down these problems on your performance measurement as-is flowchart, you want to pay attention to which steps have the most problems. That's going to be a bit of a key for you. If there's one step in that measurement process that has got a lot of problems relative to the others, that could be a clue that that's where you need to start fixing your measurement process. But not always. Sometimes it can be the steps where you might have just a few problems, but those problems are so profound that they're having the biggest impact throughout your measurement process. So let me give you an example here. You may find that most of your problems are listed around, let's say, the collect stage in your measurement process. So there's lots and lots and lots of issues people have around the kind of data collection that's going on. You know, it's too costly. People don't like it. There's too many errors. People are refusing to do it. We're collecting all of the wrong kind of data. We're collecting everything because it's interesting and not necessarily because it's useful. Our data collection processes are too convoluted. We need to automate it more. You know, the problems can go on and on. But it could be that the root cause of all of those problems is actually back in the select stage. It's in the early stage of the measurement process where fundamentally what's going on is you're brainstorming your performance measures and you've got way too many performance measures leading to way too much data being collected. And not only do you have too many measures, but they're trivial. They're the kinds of measures that aren't focusing people on what really matters most. And therefore, you're putting all this effort into data collection that just doesn't even need to be spent at all. So watch out for that. It could actually be a problem in a different part of your measurement process that has the biggest impact on the problems that you've got in your measurement process. So think about that too. You know, it might be where you've got the most problems, but it could just be where you've got a problem that has a very profound impact throughout the whole measurement process. Now, it's probably good at this point to bear in mind what a good performance measurement process should achieve. Because you're trying to figure out what the problems are. You can only know it's a problem when you have some inkling of what success looks like. And I'm going to boil this down into three things for you. Three results I think that performance measurement does for us or helps us achieve. And three results, therefore, that your performance measurement process needs to have very good capability to deliver. The first of those is that, well, a good performance measurement process makes sure we achieve more of our goals. We have to be achieving more of our goals. If our measurement process is getting better, a part of that means that we are achieving more of the goals that we set as an organization, either strategically, tactically, or operationally. The second thing is a good performance measurement process helps us achieve our goals sooner. We achieve our goals sooner, earlier than we have in the past, faster than we have in the past. And thirdly, a good performance measurement process helps us achieve our goals with less cost and effort. In other words, with less resource. So when your measurement process is working really well, you are achieving more of your goals. You're achieving them sooner and you're achieving them with less cost and effort. If your measurement process isn't helping you do that, then it's got problems and you've got to figure out what those problems are and fix them. Now, what I'm going to do right now before we go on to step three and start talking about how to decide where you're going to start fixing your process, I'm going to just go to, because we've had a few, there's a few questions and comments coming in from our listeners right now. So, let's go through a couple of those. Let's see. Bill in Atlanta is saying, Stacey, if we have nothing already, there's not much use in doing step one or two, is there? Absolutely, Bill. I mean, if you don't have a measurement process right now at all, you don't need to flowchart what you currently do, nor do you need to diagnose the problems with it. What you will be doing instead is starting with creating your should-be process. And to create your should-be process is what we're going to be talking about next. And I'm going to give you some tips about what things you want to consider when you design your should-be performance measurement process. Also, a comment here from Francois. G'day, Francois. Glad you made it in today. Francois says, one of the problems is that companies do not necessarily recognize that their performance measurement process is not working. They might even think that the Excel spreadsheets that leads to no action is implementing performance measures. How do we overcome that? Are we waiting until they realize it and then offer help or a solution? Can you recommend a good article from my fast arsenal of articles? I don't know that I'll recommend an article for you right now, Francois. I think I need to think about that a bit. But in general, I would say if you can't even get your organisation to appreciate that their performance measurement process isn't working well, then you need to show them what a measurement process looks like when it is working well. And that means finding case studies of organisations who are achieving a lot of their performance goals, achieving them quicker and quicker, and are also achieving them with less cost and effort. So it's coming back to those three results that are important results for any performance measurement process to deliver for the organisation. So what they're missing, Francois, is a sense of what good measurement's about and the potential and opportunity that they don't realise they have. And that's about looking at other organisations that do or really have mastered performance measurement and are doing fantastic things with their measures, fantastic things like completely eradicating rework or doubling their revenue or retaining, dramatically increasing their customer retention. So that's the way I would approach the situation if you have people who don't even acknowledge that their measurement process is a problem. Hope that helps, Francois. Okay, let's go back onto step three, which is about deciding where you're going to start fixing the process to remove the cause of the problems and what needs to change about the process to achieve that. And for those of you who don't even have a measurement process at this stage, you'll get some clues here for how you can design one from scratch. And in fact, you already will have. You'll know that pump is the backbone that you're going to design your measurement process around. Now, the idea here is that you want to look for the root causes of your performance measurement process problems, not just the symptoms. Now, I'm going to share with you what I have seen time and again over the last decade or so are the typical root causes of a bad performance measurement process. Now, the first one is early in the measurement process, and it's actually a step before the measurement process even begins. It's in the strategy or the planning process, and this root cause is the use of what I call weasel words that are used to express our goals and strategies and objectives. And weasel words are the kinds of words that don't really communicate anything. And I know you've seen them. They're everywhere in our society. They're not just in your organisation. They are everywhere. They're on television. They're in the news. They're in politics. Everywhere. Weasel words are words like effective, efficient, productive, quality, accountable, engaged, reliable, those sorts of words that you think, oh, that sounds good. They sound short and sharp and nice and concise. And, yeah, that's the kind of performance we want. But you go try and measure those things. It's a real struggle because efficient means 12 different things to 5 different people. And it means something completely different in the maintenance part of your organisation than it does in the customer service part of your organisation or the HR part of your organisation. We can't leave those weasel words in our strategy because we'll just never measure it meaningfully. We have to be a lot more specific in how we write our goals and objectives. Those weasel words are the root cause of symptoms like goals that never get measured, the wrong measures being chosen for the goals that you do have, and for people feeling quite cynical about the measures and the strategy. So if you've got symptoms like that, the root cause could very well be the language that you use to express your strategy. If you don't even have a strategy and you're trying to come up with meaningful measures for your organisation, you can't do it. You have to know what matters, and that's what strategic planning and operational planning is all about, is defining what really matters for us to focus on. In any organisation, there's a gazillion things you could be focusing on. Strategic planning helps you decide what matters most right now. Where do we want to take this organisation? What do we really want to achieve most of all? And that's what needs to happen clearly, articulately, and non-weaselly before you even enter into measurement conversations. Now, the next root cause that I see happening a lot in organisations that have problems with their measurement process is when brainstorming is used to come up with what the measures are. And this is actually recommended in a few high-profile measurement books too, is to go and brainstorm your measures. And I really advise against doing it. It's it's a really bad piece of advice to go brainstorming your measures, because you end up with symptoms like these. You get too many measures. You get measures that aren't actually measures at all. For example, people will brainstorm a measure for improving our customer relationship, and they'll brainstorm a measure and they'll say CRM system, which is customer relationship management system. That's not a measure. That is a potential initiative or project that we could implement that could improve our relationship with our customers, but it's not a measure of how good our relationships are with our customers. So brainstorming also produces a few other symptoms too, measures that are completely irrelevant, and measuring the same old things, never coming up with better ways to measure. Now, if you have symptoms like that, go look at how you go choosing your measures. Are you brainstorming them? Are you using a very trivial approach to select your measures? The next root cause that I see, and this is a biggie because it affects every step in the measurement process, this root cause is not involving people in the right way, and you'll end up with symptoms like these if you're not involving people, the right people in the right way in the measurement process. You'll have people fiddling with figures. In other words, manipulating the performance measures to look good rather than actually fixing business performance. You'll find that measures don't get implemented. There's always a reason why we can't get the data or we can't report that measure. You'll find that you'll only get the easy stuff being measured. And fundamentally, you'll find that despite all the measuring that's going on, performance just isn't improving. You really need to get people involved in the right way in the measurement process, and they need to be involved at every step along the way. You don't outsource your measurement process, and you don't get a consultant to come in and do it for you. That's something I've always refused to do. I have never accepted a job from any of my clients where they said, can you come up with the measures for us? I've always come in and said, no, what I will do is help you, give you the tools and the techniques to decide for yourself what the most important measures are. And I'll help you do that, and I'll help you make that a robust and rigorous process. But it's essential that you own the process for deciding what your measures are going to be, and that the people who are affected by those measures are also involved in those conversations and decisions too about what gets measured. Now, another root cause behind a lot of the problems that we face with performance measurement is being too casual about how we implement our measures. And what you find when you're too casual about that, and an example of being too casual is saying, okay, we're going to measure customer retention. Joe, can you go start reporting customer retention? And Joe goes, okay. But then Joe starts trying to find out how to measure customer retention and realizes there's a whole lot of unanswered questions. And she has to go back and ask the managers, and the managers can't answer those questions, and it just delays the process in that measure getting implemented. You'll see symptoms like these if you're being too casual about the way you are implementing your measures. The obvious one is you'll find your measures aren't being implemented. You'll find you've got 12 versions of the same measure floating around different parts of the organisation, and not one of those measures says the same thing as any of the other 11. I'm obviously just picking 12 as a random number here, but that duplication in measurement is a big problem. You'll find that the wrong calculations are used, or the wrong data is used for measures, and the scary thing is when the decision makers don't even realise the wrong data was used for the measure that they're making a very important decision on. You'll also find symptoms like nobody actually knowing who should be using which measures. Now, those are some of the symptoms when you know you're being too casual about how you're implementing the measures that you've chosen. Now, another root cause behind a lot of the problems that we have with our performance measurement processes is when we use default Microsoft Excel charts, when we use traditional performance reporting, and even when we use modern dashboard and BI applications, okay? Even the hottest stuff off the shelf in terms of dashboard development can still, just using them the way they are, can still be a root cause of performance measurement problems. I know that may be shocking some of you because you will be spending millions investing in these applications. You've really got to understand what this root cause is about and how to fix it so that you can get the most value out of those dashboard applications. Don't let the features of those dashboard applications, like gauges that go whiz, bang, and pop, don't let those features drive how you design your dashboard. You'll see symptoms like this happening, that the displays on the dashboards and in your performance reports, whether they're graphs or dials or whatever, are actually distorting the truth and encouraging the wrong kinds of responses to your measures. So if people are knee-jerk reacting to their data, or they're not quite sure what their data is saying to them, that's a symptom that you've got this root cause of the measures just not being displayed properly. You'll find that there's too much time and too much effort going into the production of reports, and it's become its own little industry, the report production industry, and it consumes loads of time and effort that should and can be given to much higher tasks like analytics and cause analysis and performance improvement, idea development and testing and tuning. Much better to have your business analysts finding the ways to fix performance rather than just producing the performance reports. And one of the bottom line symptoms that you'll see when reports just aren't put together well is they're just simply not being used by decision makers. They're not valued. Another root cause, which we often don't realise we have, and we're often not even seeing some of the symptoms here. If I were to go into your organisation, I would recognise these symptoms, but you may not recognise all of them. This root cause is about invalidly interpreting our performance information, and that's the comparing this month to last month or this month to the same month last year and thinking that the difference between those two values tells us something. It doesn't. The symptoms that you'll see when this is a root cause in your performance measurement process are things like not reaching your performance targets, maybe getting short-term wins but at the expense of longer-term losses, missing important signals until it's too late, like you don't realise that you've got a problem until it's already beyond, it's already caused a havoc and it's too late to prevent it. You might find that there's more effort than needed or more effort than you had anticipated to reach your performance targets. And the thing that I reckon I would see that you may not pick up straight away, but when I explain it to you, you'll probably start recognising it, is what I call tampering. And what tampering is when somebody's reacting to a difference between this month and last month or today and yesterday or this report and last report, and they're seeing that performance has changed. They're seeing that last month it was 12 and this month it's 10 and, oh, my goodness, it's going down. We have to fix something. So they go into their processes, into their business processes, and they start fixing things. So they might start telling staff to do something different, let's think of an example. Well, one that does come to mind is just a recent one at the last performance measure blueprint workshop I ran. We had a group of people there from an organisation that's, I guess, in the manufacturing industry, to oversimplify it. And they have a report that is basically a table, and each cell in the table changes colour based on what the performance value in that cell in the table is doing. So if a particular value goes green, that means it's improved, and if it goes red, that means it's gotten worse. Now, if it goes red, it's gone red because the value – now, this is a live report – and the values change every other minute. So it's always flashing different colours, basically. But if it goes red, what that usually means is someone's going to end up tampering. And that means they're going to go into the production process, they're going to change a dial or change a setting to try and get that particular performance result to improve. It might be the length of something, it might be the width of something, who knows. But they're always tampering with the process, they're always changing how they go about delivering the process, and what that ends up doing is making performance worse. And this particular organisation had experienced it because they suspected that was what was happening, because as soon as these reports started being used, they found performance got more volatile, more unpredictable. The variability from day to day increased dramatically. they decided to take this reporting regime out of one of their sites, and immediately performance improved. Can you imagine that? Taking performance measures away from a team and getting better results. That's what happens when the measures are being used wrongly. They're being used to tamper and mess with the process, and it basically means that the natural variability in a process is being ignored and treated as something that needs to be fixed, and it counterintuitively makes the variability worse. We could have a whole call on this, and indeed for the Measures and More Mastermind members, we may very well have a how-to class on this in the not-too-distant future, because I think it's a really critical topic. So they are basically the root causes that I see happening a lot in people's measurement processes. So look out for them when you map your as-is process, and try to avoid them when you are designing your very first performance measurement process or your should-be process. So I'll just go over them really quickly again. One is, make sure your strategy isn't filled with weasel words like effective, efficient, and reliable, and quality, and so on. Number two is, don't use brainstorming to come up with your measures. You need a more robust and rigorous way to design, deliberately design your performance measures. Number three is not involving people in the right way, and in fact, people need to be involved very muchly in the development of performance measures if you want them to have the ownership. Number four is being too casual about your measure definitions, about how you're going to implement your measures. You need to be very specific about how each measure is going to be implemented. Number five is using default charts and default dashboard software to dictate how you present your measures. You can't do that. You need to be very careful in how you choose the right graph type and the right display to highlight the true signals in your performance measures. And number six is invalidly interpreting your performance measures, so reacting to signals that aren't really, reacting to trends that aren't there and missing trends that actually are there because of the inappropriate practices that are so endemic in the way that we interpret our performance information. So flowchart your should-be process, or if you're starting from scratch, flowchart your ideal performance measurement process, but remember to watch out for what you don't know you don't know. And it does relate a lot to those symptoms that I just and root causes I went through there for you. I want you to appreciate that for those root causes, there are fixes for them. There are things you can do to prevent them from happening. And I'll go through quickly what some of those are. They are definitely part of the performance measure blueprint, okay? I mean, that's why I designed it, was to fix these root causes that keep coming up in performance measurement processes. But I'll explain them very briefly now, what they are. But if you want to hang on with me a little later toward the end of the webcast after we do our official close, I'm going to go into them in a lot more detail so that you can see what the blueprint is all about and how PUMP actually becomes the performance measure blueprint so that you can use it to guide you in how you design or redesign your performance measurement process. Now, the first technique that helps fix that first root cause is the PUMP technique of results mapping. And what that typically does is it takes goals or strategies that you've written where it might say implement customer relationship management. That might be what you've got in your plan and you're thinking, how do I measure that? Am I just going to measure whether or not we implement it by a due date? No, too trivial. That kind of measurement's not going to help you. That's actually part of project management and program management. It's not performance management. What you need to understand is what the result is you're trying to achieve through your strategy. And this is how I think our goals should be written. They should be written as results-oriented, not action-oriented. So instead of implement customer relationship management, instead you might say the result we really want is to keep our customers. That's the result. And results mapping helps you do that and helps you look at the relationships and connections between and among all of the results in your organization that matter and helps you cascade them as well. So if keeping your customers is a strategic result, then that would cascade right down to a team who might be the customer support team, and they know that a result that's really important for them to get right in order to help keep customers is to respond really quickly to customers' questions and inquiries. And if they can do that, they'll know that they're doing their little part toward keeping customers. There is definitely a better way to brainstorming your measures as well and to coming up with measures for what seems to be the immeasurable parts of your strategy. and it's the pump technique of measure design. And what it does is it really helps you sift through the trivial measures and discard them and come up with more meaningful measures and make a very deliberate, conscious decision about what the best measures are going to be for you right now. And time and again, I've gone through this process with various clients who thought that the best measure they had for their customer goal was customer complaints. And invariably, we leave that measure behind and discard it and end up with something much more meaningful. And, you know, for example, if your result is about keeping your customers, then measuring the percentage of customers that you retain from month to month or quarter to quarter is much more meaningful than just tracking the number of complaints that you get. Involving people in the right way is very fundamental to what PUMP is and how it operates. All of the PUMP techniques are dialogue-based, and they're designed to be used in a team environment. And the team that owns the results and will own and implement and use the measures are the team members that use these techniques. They actually get involved in designing their own measures and implementing them, and that is part of everybody's job. Not everybody will get involved in your performance measurement improvement project, that's for sure. It's not always practical to take everybody away from their day job to sit down together and come up with measures, but at some point everyone should have some involvement in the measurement process. We've got to see measurement as part of our everyday job, not as an imposition to it. That's a reframe that's going to take a while to happen, I know. But involving people in the right way does mean having them sit down and treating performance measurement as a team-based activity. So your customer support team, for example, should be involved in designing the measures for the customer results that they influence. There's a PUMP technique also for measure defining, for measure definitions and creating your measure definition dictionary. And it's how you will avoid that root cause of taking measure implementation too casually. It's not enough to say, go measure customer retention. You need to spell out what our measure of customer retention is going to be. How do we calculate it? How frequently do we measure it? Where does the data come from? Who's going to be responsible for it? All those sorts of things. And as far as displaying your performance measures go, to avoid those root cause problems with default dashboards and default Microsoft Excel graphs, there's a PUMP technique that guides you in how to design a really useful and usable performance report. And some of the tips that I'll always give people is don't ever use pie charts or gauges or dials to display your performance measures. You need to choose chart types that best display the true signals. And usually the signals that we want to see in performance measures are the signals of changes occurring through time as time goes by. So what I'm doing is giving you an overview of what PUMP does. It gives you those techniques that help you fix each step in your measurement process and do it in a way that's engaging and very robust and rigorous. Now, just at this point, what I'll do is give you a few links for those of you who are interested in learning more about PUMP and how the Performance Measure Blueprint helps you implement PUMP. And there's a few ways that you can get access to this. I mean, I know I give a lot of stuff away for free. I mean, we do these sorts of webcasts. I give you articles in the Measure Up email newsletter. And we have some of the Measures and More mastermind events available to you for free as well. I'm not going to give you this stuff for free, okay? The PUMP techniques and the Performance Measure Blueprint is the guts of what I do. It is where the magic happens in performance measurement. So this, if you really want to step up and improve your measurement process, you have to invest in it, and therefore you need to invest in PUMP and the Performance Measure Blueprint. You're not going to get that kind of help out of an e-zine article or out of a one-hour webcast. So these are the links that you want to write down to find out how you can get access to the Performance Measure Blueprint. The first link I'm going to give you is for the Performance Measure Blueprint workshop. It's a two-day workshop. We run it publicly fairly frequently throughout the year. And the link you go to is www.performancemeasureblueprint.com. So that's performancemeasureblueprint.com. And that takes you to the webpage that explains all about the public two-day workshop, the dates we've got coming up and locations, and gives you all the details for how to register if you want to attend one of those workshops. Now, I also have clients who like to have that workshop in-house because they've got enough people internally that they want to give performance measurement skills to that we run that exact workshop internally for them. Sometimes we tailor it a little bit too if they want that. Now, if this sounds like you, if you've got, let's say, 10 or more people in your organization that need performance measurement skills, the economical way of getting the performance measure blueprint is with this in-house workshop, and this is the link for you. It's www.stacybarr.com/pmbwinhouse.html. So that's stacybarr.com/pmbwinhouse.html. And the PMBW is just the acronym for Performance Measure Blueprint Workshop. Now, the third way that you can get access to the blueprint, and this is the cheapest and easiest, I suppose, because you don't need to travel and you can do it all in your own time. It's with the Performance Measure Blueprint audio program. So just over a year ago, I ran the Performance Measure Blueprint workshop, but as a teleconference or teleseminar-based program, and it was an 8-part program. And so all of that's on CD in a binder that's got all of the templates and resources, everything that you get at a live workshop, but just packaged in a do-it-yourself kind of kit. Now, if that's what you're after, if that's the way that you want to learn the blueprint, or use it as a starting point, you know, invest in the audio program, see if you really like it, test it out, play around with it a little bit before you decide what you want to do next. If you're interested in this, the audio program, you go to stacybarr.com/pmbaudio.html. So that's stacybarr.com/pmbaudio.html. Now, I will give those links again a little later in case you missed them, but let's continue now with our fourth step in fixing your performance measurement process, and it's about creating your measures team. Your measures team is the group of people that you'll bring together to help you develop your performance measurement process or improve your performance measurement process, maybe even to own your performance measurement process. So there's two different types of teams, essentially. You have formal measures teams, and usually they live in something like the corporate performance office or as part of the strategic planning or corporate planning office, and they are full-time, they are permanent, and they are the owners of the measurement process throughout the organization. They're that single port of call for when anybody's having trouble with measuring anything, they go there for help, and they are the facilitators of measurement. They are the coordinators of measurement, and they are ensuring that the right measures get developed around the organization in the most efficient and effective way possible. There's also informal measures teams, temporary teams that you will bring together, led by a performance measurement facilitator, and usually those teams are just like a representative group of the people who work in the processes that you're trying to measure. So it might be if you're trying to measure the HR, measure HR results and goals, then it will be a sample of the HR team that would get involved in that informal measures team. If you're trying to develop measures around customer relationships, then there will be, you know, people from the sales team and people from the customer delivery team involved in this temporary measures team, and they'll collaborate together to come up with the measures and implement them. What you want to do when you form your measures team, whether it's a formal or an informal one, is to do your darndest to get active senior executive support. You ideally want members of your executive team to champion and possibly even lead your measures team. Now, I've worked in organizations where that's been possible and where that hasn't been possible, and the results are definitely clear. When you get the executive team involved, and in one implementation with a client, we had the deputy chief executive lead the measures team for the organisation and gave a lot of her time to helping and making sure that measures got developed from top to bottom and left to right and inside out in that organisation. She saw it that important. It was that important. Measures were really going to drive the culture change that that organisation needed. And in a very short time, a matter of, it was less than 6 months, in fact, they managed to get measures developed and cascaded from top to bottom in that organisation. Contrast that with another client that I've had where the initiative for measurement really came from the middle management level and not from the senior team. They did a lot to get measures developed and they really did implement PUMP, but they're struggling now with maintaining the buy-in and engagement in measurement. And because it didn't have that leadership support as strongly as it needed to, there's still some cynicism about measurement and some confusion about why measurement's even needed in the first place. So they're getting mixed messages, and that can be a challenge. So there's some rework needed with that particular client to help fix some of those problems. But it is getting more elevated now to a senior executive level, and that helps. Other people that you want to involve are people who do the work that is being measured, people who have some understanding of the data that might be available at the moment, and you really want to focus on volunteers in this measures team rather than it being mandated. You want people that can give their passion and energy to this or it will fall over. That said, it doesn't matter if you've got one or two people in the team that are still feeling quite cynical or skeptical about measurement because they often become the greatest advocates. I just see this happening time and time again. So, you know, don't block out people who feel skeptical about measurement. If they're happy to be involved, then involve them, but you want to dominate your team by volunteers, the people who really do care. Very early on when you form your measures team, it's essential that you lay a foundation of what meaningful measurement is about. Don't assume everyone knows, because more often than not, people have very different and dysfunctional ideas about what performance measurement's about. For some people, it's something that they do for somebody else. For some people, it's manual and it's boring and it's just horrible data collection. For some people, it's about creating a rod for their own backs. For others, it's just an interruption to their real work. And for many, it's a bureaucratic waste of time. So you really want to knock those things on the head and give a clear purpose and vision for what good measurement's about. And everybody involved will need to have basic skills in performance measurement. You can't send them into a measure design workshop cold. They have to first know what good measure design is all about. And again, that's why many of my clients have in-house performance measure blueprint workshops, and it's to give people that big picture and a chance to learn the techniques like results mapping and measure design and measure definition ready for when they go and implement it. Now, step five, the final step in this approach to fixing your performance measurement process is, and quite obviously, is executing your performance measurement process improvement project and keeping your eye on the ball of producing meaningful performance measures and KPIs. Don't get caught up in the detail of the measurement process and making it perfect. You want to fix your measurement process or put in place a good, robust measurement process as quickly as possible, always remembering that the whole idea is to get good measures that help us achieve more of our goals, achieve them sooner, and achieve them with less resource or less effort. So a good way to do this when you're implementing an improved measurement process is to test it. Test it on a pilot. Maybe just pick a few, one or two strategic goals and focus on testing your new measurement process just on developing measures for those goals or a particular critical success factor or key result area. Maybe you'd choose a business process like invoicing or recruitment or customer inquiry management and use that as your pilot. Get really good measures for that particular business process. You might take a team approach, so maybe focus just on helping the policy development team or the HR team or the sales team or the customer support team to develop the measures they need to really contribute the best way they can to the organization's success. So start with a pilot. Start small and it will build and grow over time. If you start too big, you'll fall over. Almost certainly. with exhaustion, with too much complexity, people not being able to get their heads around it. You want to start small and let it grow organically and naturally at the pace that's appropriate for your organisation and your culture. Ideally, though, if you can, start at the strategic level, and here's why. When you get clear about what the strategic results are and the strategic measures are for your organisation, it makes it so much easier for everyone else when you start cascading to have something sensible to link to, something sensible to hook in their results to at that strategic level, something that helps them decide what their priorities are going to be. So that's a good reason, wherever possible, start your pilot, start your performance measurement improvement at the strategic level. I know it's not always possible. I'm just highlighting this. If you can do it, do it. If you can't start at the strategic level, here's what you can do to compensate. What you can do is get your team, it might be just an operational team, get them to have a go first at interpreting the strategic goals as best they can, and getting clear about what those strategic goals mean to them and which of those strategic goals they have the most impact on, and then they can focus on their contribution to those particular goals. One of my clients was the manager of a procurement team in his organisation, and what they did was looked at the strategic goals for the organisation and realised that the one goal that was around cost reduction or cost consolidation was the strategic goal they had the most impact on. So that really drove their procurement strategy and the results they ended up focusing on and the measures they ended up choosing. It was all about getting cost reduction, but also without the unintended consequences of cost reduction. Seriously consider, after you've done these pilots, after you've got an improved performance measurement process working well and getting embedded in the organisation, before you go too far, seriously consider formalising your performance measurement process with an owner, say the corporate performance officer or chief performance officer, and seriously consider setting up a formal team in your organisation for performance management. It's happening a lot more these days, and you know, maybe I'm a little bit biased here, but if performance management isn't the most important management process in your organisation, then I'm not quite sure what is, because everything else depends on it. Everything else depends on how clearly you can articulate priorities, how sensibly you can measure them, and how well you can use those measures to constantly test and tune and improve the way you do business. It really is of paramount importance, and it's not received that importance in the past. So do what you can now to think about setting up a formal performance management office in your organisation to make sure that this gets done well and truly does transform the way your organisation manages its performance and achieves its goals and its mission and vision. You also will find it, if you can do that, you'll find it a lot easier to integrate the performance measurement process with the other corporate performance management processes as well. There's probably about four of them in general. You want to make sure that your performance measurement process integrates with strategic and operational planning processes. You want to make sure it integrates with routine performance reporting. You want to make sure it integrates with routine decision-making and performance review. And you want to make sure it integrates with strategy execution and performance improvement initiatives. So that's a big thing to be thinking about, but it's important that you start thinking about it now, because you don't want measurement to feel like a standalone bolt-on thing. You want it to be integrated into how success is managed in your organisation. So let's see. I know some questions have already started coming in right now. If you have a question you'd like to ask it, for those of you obviously listening live, if you're listening to the recording, you can't do that quite so easily. But submit your questions now using the Q&A form on our webcast page. Just type it on in, and it will come through to me on the dashboard, and I will be able to go through them systematically and answer them. Now, I can see that there are a few of you who have joined by telephone. If you're on the phone, are listening and you don't have access to the webcast page where you can type your question in the Q&A form, then you can press star 2 on your keypad and that will pop up here and I'll be able to unmute you and you can ask your question live. But feel free just to go to the webcast page and submit your question using the Q&A form if you like. Now, while you do get your questions ready and submitted, I'm going to give you a reminder of those links I mentioned before, which are the options that you have if you want my help in revamping your performance measurement process. Now, the first one I talked about was the public performance measure blueprint workshop that we run, the two-day training. But it's not just about training. You actually get to practice the techniques and start making some progress on your real performance measurement problems during the workshop. So you go back to work with the first steps already done. That performance measure blueprint workshop information is all at www.performancemeasureblueprint.com. So it's performancemeasureblueprint.com, and you can read all about the workshop there. That workshop is available as an in-house workshop as well, and you can, if you've got 10 or more people that you know need performance measurement skills and are about to embark on measuring performance, then you can have an in-house workshop. And the link for you to go to is stacybarr.com/pmbwinhouse.html. That's stacybarr.com/in-house.pmbwinhouse.html. And thirdly, if you want the quick and easy way, you just want to test out the blueprint, listen to it, practice it, maybe test it out on a couple of things in your organization before you decide that it's going to be the basis of your performance measurement process redesign, then you can try the Performance Measure Blueprint audio program, and you can do that and get the information about it at stacybarr.com/pmbaudio.html. That's pmbaudio.html. Okay, so let's see what sorts of questions have come through. I'll just check the lines first and see if any of you are putting your hand up there. No, you're shy. It's all coming through the webcast, it would seem. Okay, let's see. Okay, Peter in Melbourne. Hi, Peter. You're asking, hi, Stacey, what is the difference between KPI and measures? I don't know if there's a truth about this. The term KPI has been used to mean different things. Now, I can't remember where the term originally got coined and developed and what the person who invented that phrase, key performance indicator, what they actually meant by it. It's taken on a life of its own, well and truly. Now, KPI is an acronym for key performance indicator, and more often than not, it's a term used interchangeably with the word measure or performance measure. There's actually a range of words that are used to mean the same thing, like KPI, PI, measure, metric, performance measure, performance indicator. What they all basically are quantifications of the degree to which a particular result is happening, a performance result in particular, so that you can gauge how well are we achieving that result. Where are we now in terms of how good we are in delivering this result? It's almost always a quantification, like a percentage or an average or a ratio or something like that. However, the term KPI is used by a lot of people, and I know David Parmenter, who's author of Key Performance Indicators, the book, he has a very specific meaning for the term KPI, and it is truly the key measures in your organization. So you may have, let's say you've got 3,000 performance measures, and I pity you if you do, but if you've got lots and lots and lots of performance measures, there'll only be a subset of those that are the key ones, the ones that matter most, the ones that you have targets for, the ones that you're really, above all else, trying to get improvements in. David Parmenter would call those the key performance indicators. So it can help actually to appreciate that there are many performance measures in your organisation, but only a few of them are very key and deserve attention first and foremost, and deserve most of the resources to try and get them to achieve. Now, there is another way that KPI is used, and it's not as a measure at all. Key performance indicator is often a term given to a qualitative statement that just describes an area of performance that matters. So in that case, people use the term KPI interchangeably with critical success factor or key result area. And like I said, it's just a qualitative statement. It's just saying financial sustainability. That could be our KPI. So how do you measure that? Well, you've got to understand what it is. What does it mean by, what do we mean by financial sustainability? Is it about having a healthy net cash flow? Well, if that's the case, then our measure becomes net cash flow. So KPI can mean a couple of different things. We've just got to watch out for that. I prefer the David Parmenter definition of KPI. Hope that clarifies things a bit for you, Peter. Next question is from Bob in Detroit. Hi, Stacey. How do you measure the ROI for a performance measurement system? There's not an easy answer to that question, Bob, but it's funny you should ask that because not in the April issue of the Measures and More monthly newsletter, which is the members, Gold members newsletter that we have, we're talking in April and May, a two-part article in our Show Me the Measures feature in that newsletter on how to measure your performance measurement process. And we're adapting Jack Phillips' model, which really is a five-level model for measuring any kind of initiative, really, like training or projects or, anything like that, including a performance measurement process. And the five levels are, at level one, it's reaction. How are people reacting to the performance measurement process? The next one is, what are they learning? The next one is, what kind of how's the implementation going? The next one is business impact. And finally, as you suggest, Bob, is the ROI. So with any ROI measure, you've got to figure out what's the return we're trying to get versus the investment. Often the investment is easy to conceptualize, not so easy to track, because you've got to really collect a lot of data about how much time people are spending on measurement activities, how much investment you've got in systems and applications to support your measurement process, and opportunity costs as well. If you weren't spending the money on measurement, what would you be spending it on, and is there an opportunity cost there? So the investment side is easy to conceptualize, but you've got to put the rigor into collecting the data, or at least sampling or estimating those costs or investments. The return is a little bit tricky too, because it's kind of a bit of the process bending back onto itself kind of effect. You're trying to measure how good your measures are. So you're using the very same thinking to try and measure. I don't even know how to explain it, because it's a bit of, it's sort of the brain bending back onto itself. You're using measures to decide whether your measures are working any better. So how good are those? How good can that measure be if you're using the same methodology to come up with that measure as you did to come up with the measures that you're trying to measure the success of? But bottom line, I think it comes back to those three results that I mentioned before that any good measurement process should deliver. Are you achieving more of your goals? Are you achieving them sooner? And are you achieving them with less cost? So if you can look at the goals that, you know, if you're achieving 50% more goals, then what kind of a return does that represent? Does that mean that you're getting, have you doubled revenue? Have you halved costs in business processes? Have you eliminated rework? You have to really look at the kinds of goals that you've got to work out what kind of a return you are getting. And also look at the savings too. Like if you are achieving your goals under budget, then that's a saving that you can attribute back to the return of your measurement process. So the return is a little harder to conceptualize, and it's going to depend on the nature of the goals that your organization's pursuing. But you can do it. I mean, you know, it's about saving people's time in making decisions, about making decisions that more often than not work, and it's about that the bottom line impact that your performance measures show you're creating for the organization. So, Bob, I'm sorry I can't give you a really full-on, simple answer to that so that you can go away and start measuring it, but hopefully I've given you some ideas about the kinds of issues you'd need to consider if you're going to measure ROI. Let's see. Any more questions coming through? There is one here, anonymous. Would my measures team need to learn the blueprint too before we implement it? Look, my answer to that's yes, and it's based on cases in the past where we've done it both ways, where I've worked with clients and have not given the measures team the blueprint in advance and really just stepped them through the process one step at a time. And often the feedback is, we feel like we're going into this blind. We really would have liked to have the big picture first and then go in and actually implement it. So invariably, people will say at the end, we wished we'd had the overview at the start. In other words, the 2-day performance measure blueprint workshop, and then started working as a team. So your measures team really does need to learn the blueprint too before you implement it, if you want to get the best results, the fastest results, and get the best quality measures out of their first implementation. Okay, great. Well, I think that's it for our questions. So for those of you who want to learn more about the performance measure blueprint itself, I mean, you can go to one of those web pages I gave to you before, or you can hang around with me now for probably another 10 minutes, and I'll explain it for you and go into a little bit more detail about the structure of the blueprint, the steps that it teaches you. For those of you who aren't going to hang around, I hope you still got some great insight from this session and that you'll let me know how you go in analysing and improving your own performance measurement process in the coming weeks. And remember, you're the one who knows the value of performance measurement, and you're the one who feels motivated and passionate enough to be here with me to learn about it. And what this means is that you're the one to take the lead and to show your colleagues and managers and executives the value of measuring and how it doesn't have to be boring, doesn't have to be time-consuming, and doesn't have to be this futile activity that it's been in the past. It can be engaging. It can be very exciting and incredibly insightful and much easier than it's been in the past. You've just got to revamp and improve your approach to performance measurement, which is your performance measurement process. And I would love to be a part of helping you do that. Okay, so let's talk now about the performance measure blueprint. I'll explain to you the steps. And if you have any questions as we go through, please just ask them. If you're listening to the recording and you've got questions, you can just email them to me at info@stacybarr.com, and we will, my team and I will do our best to answer those questions quickly for you. Now, the idea of the blueprint is that you and your colleagues learn the techniques for how to improve your performance measurement process. Not some glossy, high level, okay, now you've got to think about how you select your measures, so go away and find a better way. The blueprint isn't like that. It says, here is how to select better measures. Here is how to design a better dashboard. Here is how to get people more engaged in measurement. It is specific. It's not exactly prescriptive, but it gives you those detailed how-to steps that are missing from just about every other methodology that I've ever come across. The idea is that when you have those techniques, you get good at measurement much more quickly. You get better measures more quickly. You get better performance improvements more quickly. And I haven't seen any other workshop that does lay out the steps in that much detail for exactly how to make your strategy measurable, or exactly how to design a good measure, or exactly how to implement your measures, or exactly how to make a performance report incredibly useful and engaging, and even exactly how to help people feel excited about their measures. So the blueprint is laid out in a series of sessions over 2 days, at the workshop anyway, and those sessions are a summary or the how-to instructions for how you'll then go back to work and implement. In parallel to those 8 sessions, you'll be implementing 8 steps with your teams to implement the blueprint, to create your measures. And we make it a little bit fun for you too. I mean, there's no standard Microsoft clip art stuff on PowerPoints. I have these hand-drawn mind maps that illustrate each of the techniques that I created in PUMP. And that makes it a little bit of fun too. You know, it doesn't have to be boring and dull. And it does make it a lot easier for you to learn and remember too. The mind maps are, they've been around for many, many years now, and people just find them a bit, you know, refreshing compared to, rather than giving you a list of instructions. It's just a great way to visualize the how-to process. Now, the structure of the content, I've talked about these 8 sessions in the blueprint. We'll go through each of those one at a time now. Session 1 is the big picture of performance measurement. It's, you know, why do we measure? What are the things that go wrong with measurement? How do we fix them? What's the measurement process? Even what is a performance measure really? We get down to the nitty-gritty. How do you know you've got a performance measure versus something else? And it lays the foundation. It gets people on the same page thinking about what measurement really is for them, and it challenges a lot of their older, outdated views and experiences about measurement. So that first session in the Blueprint workshop, where we go through all of those things, that gives you clues about how to warm your team up when you go back to work, to get them on the right page to starting a measurement implementation journey. The second session in the Blueprint workshop is about results mapping, and it is essentially about how to clarify a very vague and immeasurable strategy so that you can cascade it meaningfully to all the departments and teams in your organization, and so everyone gets that line of sight from the results that they're measuring through to the strategic level. Results mapping helps us, well, it's sort of there in its name. It helps you have results-oriented measures as opposed to activity-oriented measures, which is very trivial, and a lot of people just find those measures not very useful. They don't help them improve anything. They just help them do a lot of work. Session 3 in the Blueprint is about the 5 steps to design meaningful measures. So I have 5 steps I teach you. None of them are rocket science. They just lay it out in a logical way that systematically steps you through thinking about what is going to be meaningful to measure for the results that are important, the goals that are important. It's especially good for getting strong alignment of your measures to strategy and unshackling yourself from those lame legacy measures, and also helping you to measure what at the moment might seem immeasurable or impossible to measure. Those 5 steps are very, very powerful, and they will substitute your brainstorming. Okay, no more brainstorming, no more looking at what data you've got and saying, oh, what could we measure from this? These 5 steps are going to be your method for coming up with the meaningful measures for your organization. The next session in the Blueprint is just about sharing a few strategies with you, specifically about getting people to buy in, like results mapping, the way you facilitate that, and the 5 steps of measure design, the way you facilitate that. Those inherently do build the buy-in. But beyond your measures team, you want to get them, the other people, buying in as well. And so the next session in the Blueprint talks about the measure gallery, which is a very flexible, engaging, open, intriguing, curiosity-building, collaborative, organic kind of approach to getting other people to participate in the choice and the selection of the measures in a way that's easy for them. They don't have to sit down and listen to a seminar. They really just can engage quite naturally and voluntarily and give as much or as little time as they want to it. But the Measure Gallery does tend to create high levels of curiosity about measurement, and it really does reframe what measurement's about for people. They get quite interested and excited about it. The next session in the Blueprint is where we look at measure definitions, which is the action plans for implementing each of your measures, so that you only have one version of the truth. So you don't have 12 different versions of the same measure floating around and no one knowing which one's the correct one. It makes sure that you've got the right calculation, that you're sourcing the right data, that the right people are involved in implementing the measure, that it's measured frequently enough, all those sorts of things. And I teach you the techniques for that, and also how you can build your performance measure dictionary for your organization and have that one port of call for the single version of the truth about each of the things you measure. The next session in the Blueprint is about report design, and I share with you some principles for how to make a good performance report, one that's not boring, one that's not bulky, one that's not a complete waste of time, one that is very engaging, one that helps people make decisions very quickly and to see the signals in the measures very rapidly and accurately as well. And that goes for whether you use paper-based reports, Excel reports, or dashboard reports. The principles apply across the board. The next session in the blueprint is about integrating your measures into decision making, and it is everything to do with making sure that people know how to interpret their measures, they know how to respond to their measures, they know which measures not to bother responding to, and can really link measures to performance improvement and link measures into the other performance management processes that happen in an organization too. Like, you really want to make using measures a natural part of doing business, and that's what that session in the blueprint is about, giving people an idea of the skills or practices that they need to make that a very natural process. Now, the final session in the blueprint is back to the big picture again, planning how you're going to implement the performance measure blueprint and ensuring that you have started thinking not only about how you're going to do your pilot and start practicing the performance measure blueprint, but doing that with a view or a vision to how measurement is going to integrate and become a natural part of the management processes in your organization, a natural, you know, naturally linked into planning, naturally linked into performance review, naturally linked into performance improvement. So we revisit the whole blueprint process and also look at how that the steps of PUMP or the performance measure blueprint, how they connect into the other business as usual management processes in your organization. And end the workshop really with you deciding what your very first actions are going to be to start practicing and implementing it. So it's not just the theoretical training workshop at all. It's giving you the practical, detailed steps you need to improve, redesign, or start from scratch in developing your performance measurement process. Very, very action implementation oriented. I'll give you one last reminder about those URLs or those web pages for the various performance measure blueprint products that we have for you. The performance measure blueprint workshop is at performancemeasureblueprint.com. The in-house version of the Blueprint Workshop you can read about at stacybarr.com/pmbwinhouse.html. And if you're interested in the audio program, just a bit of a do-it-yourself kind of approach, that's the information for that is at stacybarr.com/pmbaudio.html. Well, this is where we'll leave you. Thank you for joining, everybody. This is Stacy Barr, Performance Measure Specialist, signing off.